Have you ever had questions that you wish you had your very own on-call pediatrician? Well, guess what? We are going to have a real pediatrician as a regular guest on the Dad Podcast. So if you have a question you have always wanted cleared up, please send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Because Dr. J wants you to stop Googling that shit and find out the real deal Homiefield answers from a real deal Homiefield pediatrician. So ask us at questions@thedadpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode 51. I am here with the lovely and informative, I guess. I was going to say, I already lost the word I was going to say. Maybe educational? I don't know. Rachel Gibbs is here. Her Twitter handle that we have is @TheLoveIntern. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes, I love it. I love everything about it. That I don't know if you wanted to be called the love intern for the show, but
we can do that. I think you kind of coined that, actually.
Maybe that's why I love it so much. And now it sounds narcissistic too, because I think I did. You and I did have a chat about that. Two things to bring you up to snuff. That's not the right phrase, but to bring you is that I just did an episode with my friend Joseph Bears, and they were he's making fun of me because every time I have a listener. I have a guest on the show that I somehow comment on how I'm developing having a crush on him. And he commented that you were the only female that I have admitted to falling in love with immediately meeting. So I go, I have to tell Rachel about this because I think she will get a kick out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think because I am a straight man, I think with you it really is – I do mean it. Like I mean that I am truly, truly falling in love with you and that – I just want you to know that and make this as awkward as I possibly could.
No, please do, Justin. It means a lot. It means a lot.
But here's the thing. I mean, to discuss it for not even 2 minutes, I don't think it's worth it. But I do think it is sincere. Like, it is something that – I mean, clearly I'm not sitting here thinking that I need to leave my wife or anything. But it's I just think it's interesting that you and I have cultivated what, on my end of this whole thing, has been a really cool friendship where we kind of text and you know, touch base on and off more than I do with friends that I've known for 15 years. And we just happened to bump into each other through Craigslist, of all places, to make it even
weirder. I know. I totally agree with you. I feel the same way.
Okay,
even knew when you were all stressed out.
I know, that's a book, man. Well, he said, so here's what Joseph said to make fun of me. I go, there's a connection. He goes, it's because she's a therapist and she knows how to make people feel better. It's in her phone. I go, how sad would it be if I feel like I have this honest connection and on your side, and it's okay if it is. I just think it's funny that it's like you're just being clinical and professional. And you're like, this is naturally who I am. I accept. And I go, and then I just imagined in the Curb Your Enthusiasm that this show would be, if that were the case, that as soon as we hung up on Skype, you're just going, eesh.
Like, oh, that guy. Worst hour of my life. You know I love you, Justin.
Yeah. And it was really impressive to me that, like, and I mentioned that with Joseph, that I was like, we were talking only on text, and she's like, you doing okay? Smile. And I'm like, what? How does she know that I'm like running around for ass? I go, God damn, you are good at what you do. Like, holy shit. That's amazing. And now I'm like, I started proofreading my text. I don't know if you even noticed that, but I started proofreading my text to check for subtext within a text, which is a level of hell I don't think anybody should be hard of. Like, to go, are all of my true intentions being represented in these digital characters? I don't know. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about today, because I've been so discombobulated with the episodes, as the listeners are aware, we don't have any relationship questions that were emailed in. So if you're listening to this now, let me first say this, and you can back me up or correct me here on this, Ms. Gibbs. Is that if you, I don't think, here's what I would assume. If I'm listening to a podcast such as this and they have a sex and family therapist, I think there's a misnomer about therapy that you have to have something very, very wrong with you. And much like our first and only question, where it was just simply about a husband inappropriately farting on his yes. wife and ruining their upstairs, I don't, I think that you might be listening to this saying that, well, if I write into a podcast where there's a therapist, am I admitting that either A, I have mental problems or my relationship is flawed? And I don't think that that's the case. I think that
– No, absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. And I actually think that, you know, to be able to write in anonymously, you know, we won't read your name. Yeah. This is like a way to get free insight into what's going on. And then other people, like if you're going through it, somebody else out there is going through it too.
Yeah.
And you can help other people then by being the one with the balls to write in.
Yeah. And it could be as simple as something like, you know, how do I properly approach my husband because he chews with his mouth shut? Well, I don't know why I keep saying the moms that listen to the show are writing in. I think it's because that's what we've had. But it could be like, I think it's because this is a show centered around guys. It's four mm-hmm. dudes. And so, and I think it's an unfair representation of husbands where it's like, you know, like the expectation is that all you can really write in and ask about is, you know, how do I get more blowjobs or how do I approach anal sex with my wife?
Yes. And hey, those questions are welcome too.
Right.
I've answered them many times and definitely write them in.
Yeah. And while I'm remembering this, Joseph also made fun of me because when you were saying the things about how a man needs to have sex to feel loved and a woman needs to feel loved to have sex. And
yeah,
he goes,
yeah.
You were sitting there. She's telling you this stuff. You're like, you are blowing my mind. And he goes, and she's saying stuff that you're like, all the listeners are like, no, duh, common sense. And I go, what if Rachel's sitting there going, really? You don't understand this? Your poor fucking wife. But I've had listeners who have sent emails to me. And I forgot when I was talking to him that have commented that it's like, when she said that, I was like, thank you. Yes, that's a way, like exactly how I felt. I know it's common sense that they're different. He made fun. He goes, yeah, no shit. Did you ever hear about men are from Mars, women are from Venus? Yeah, we're different, asshole. Like, he was like, but
common sense is not that common these days.
It's
so.
Not. Or I think what it really is, and this is what I think, for at least me, I can't speak for everyone, but I think that what therapy did for me was it took things that are kind of like, oh shit moments. But a therapist has a way of saying it or phrasing it that makes it to where you go, oh, okay, yeah, 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 or articulating what you're feeling in a way that you can't. That's what I think it is.
I mean, we go to school for a reason. If we were just, you know, I mean, I wish I could do this without having millions of dollars in student loans, but, you know.
You could just read that book. You could just read that Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus, and like, that's it. Dr. Gibbs in the house.
Exactly. Call me doctor.
All right. So what I wanted to talk to you about, like as I said earlier, is the love language. So here's what happened with me. When you said this whole thing, and I had been going through this issue with my wife where it's like I was shocked that she didn't want to have sex with me every day and all that stuff.
Yes.
Here's what I did. And it's an interesting dynamic is that we actually discussed the love languages on the show back when I had my co-host, Bill Glass, and he came down very hard on if you need to read a book to figure out how to properly love your wife, then you probably shouldn't be with your wife. And he and I disagreed on this subject. While I can agree from my own mindset, and I do think it's a common thing that a lot of people think of, is that in the love language arena, it almost feels like you're cheating a little bit. And that's what's kind of why my friend gave me this book a long time ago. My best friend, Kevin Miller, who's been on the show like ages ago, almost just as soon as I got married, he gave me this book. And it
Thank
still
you,
sits.
Kevin.
Yeah. It still sits on my shelf. And he's a big advocate of it. But it took you bringing it up again that what I did is we on the show, we had our wives take the test and then we took the test and then kind of compared the results. And it was very funny because Bill was so angry about it. But anyway, I went back and found that email where I looked at my wife's results. And here's what I realized. Our issues within our marriage is that I am an acts of service. That's my love language. And for the listener who isn't familiar, maybe we should review them. There's acts of service, words mm-hmm. of affirmation.
Yes.
Quality time, physical touch, and gifts.
Look at you.
I know. I study a little bit.
So proud.
Thank you. And so mine is acts of service. That's like kind of my big one. My second one, I think, if I remember correctly, was physical touch, and then third was quality time. And my wife's was a three-way tie between quality time, physical touch, and words of affirmation. Her lowest, I scored 0 on gifts. She had, I think, like a 1 or a 2 on gifts. And her third one was acts of service. Now, this is where it all kind of clicked for me, Rachel, is that I go, well, no wonder. No wonder that's why they call it love languages, is that from my perspective, I'm looking at it and going, look, I manage our finances, I clean the house, I take care of the children, and I manage to make money, and this is all me showing you how much I love you. And when I can't get you to participate or do something for me that I ask you to do, it's like you saying, I don't give a shit about you. But mm-hmm. in actuality, what it is that, and I know this is a moment where Joseph's listening going, no shit, Sherlock, but we're speaking two different languages.
No, but you really are. It's like speaking you know, I work at a restaurant part-time, uh-huh. and sometimes I'll be walking through back in the kitchen, and one of the cooks yells something in Spanish, like really quick, uh-huh. and I turn around like, what the hell? What?
Yes.
And he's like, what, you didn't understand me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no bro,
not at
sorry.
All. Not
I
at
don't
all.
Speak Spanish fluently.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
And that's what I realize, is that it's not cheating. What it is it's learning. It's like, as far as love is concerned, it's like I got a Russian mail order bride who doesn't understand anything that I'm saying.
Pretty much. It's like, this is like Rosetta Stone for love.
Exactly. And so I started doing it it wasn't anything that I had to force. It never was contrived, because that's very important to me, that I didn't want to fake any of it. So anytime I look at her and I see that there's something that just the way she looks or her shirt, I go, man, you look great. And sometimes I'd get even a little naughty and say things like, your tits look great in that shirt. I don't know what it is, but I'm a fan of it. I like everything about it. And she always giggles and laughs it off or whatever. And then if we're just sitting at a restaurant or sitting down having dinner, if I'm done with my meal, instead of just sitting there and kind of helping to wrangle the kids, I'll put my arm on her leg or rub her back or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just really what it is it's me feeling what I'm already feeling, but it's provided a channel for me to communicate what I'm thinking and feeling.
Exactly.
And then I realized that what it says with the quality time people is that it's not necessarily like what I would process it to be, where I have to designate time for just her and I, because that's hard with two kids. But it's also that when she is talking to me, I'm not very good. I'm listening, but I'm not very good at communicating that I'm listening. So what that means to her is that she just has to trust that I'm listening. And if something comes up to where it seems like I'm not, then that's a huge deal to her. Much like me not getting her to enter in a transaction for our checking account on her phone. Mm-hmm. And so now it even says, literally, it says turn the TV off. And so I do that. If we're having a conversation, I hit pause on the TV, I set everything down, and I just sit there and I look at her, because even though I know I'm listening to her in no different way than what I was before, this is me communicating to her that I'm listening to her. And I got to tell you, and I know that you're shocked, and so is Mr. Bears, but there's a huge difference. Like, it's a difference where I felt more connected with her, because I think she was feeling like I was reciprocating what she needed, and vice versa. And it creates this element where everybody kind of steps up to be the person that the other person would like them to be.
Exactly. Look at you, Mr. Therapist.
I know. This is why I love you, Rachel. So I just wanted to say that. I had also another fun moment, which I thought was just because we like to laugh about my sex life taking a different turn on this show.
Yes.
Is that one of the things I noticed, that because my wife likes it when I tell her how attractive she is, and she is fucking beautiful.
I just saw a picture of her today,
yeah,
for the first time, and yeah, she's fucking hot.
She's hot. She is very, very hot.
Yeah, I just had to go down on record.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, let it down. Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, you can let her know.
I will. I will definitely pass that along. She because it's her love language, and then she's gonna think that you love her too. That's the that's the awkward misunderstanding that one.
You know, it's okay. She can think that.
Okay, good. Oh yeah. Now we're gonna get sex therapist three-way talk on here. That's right. Send in your emails, boys. Otherwise, this is what you're going to have to visualize.
Everybody's starting to email now.
Oh, sweet like, God, oh, Jesus.
Where's
please,
the computer?
Please stop the gray-haired chubby man from having a three-way. Please, oh, God. Anyway, So I told her we just out of pure convenience, not anything sexual. I was like, I want to take a shower with you. And I'll be honest, I like looking at her without her clothes on. I'm a big fan of that. And sure, I would have put some soap on her back. But this is, and I had a conversation with some friends of mine about their own personal sex life and how this is something that they kind of deal with, where the wife is afraid of returning affection because she's afraid that he's going to misunderstand that to mean like, oh yeah, now because she can't really do that without him thinking that it always has to lead to sex, which I think is a common thing for women and wives. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
And so what I experienced was that my wife was like, no, you can't take a shower with me because we have to go. And I'm like, what? I take 10-minute showers. You take like 25. How is that? She's like, yeah, but you're going to want to have sex. And I'm like, no, I'm a person. I mean, listen, I am a man first. I understand. I will always want to have sex with you. That is always on the table. But I am also a civilized modern man who has the ability to also go, now is not the proper time. Now, so I was like, oh, no, I could do that. She's like, yeah, whatever. So there was an opportunity where we were supposed to leave. The boys were downstairs watching some SpongeBob SquarePants. So I'm like, screw this. She's up there taking a shower. It's going to be faster if I go take a shower with her. Now, I will admit, as I was going upstairs, the idea of taking a shower with my wife, even though I was not wanting to have sex with her, my instrument, if you would, for lack of a better term, he had different plans. He only has one objective in his life. His secondary job is that. It is very secondary to him. So whenever there's an opportunity to do his primary function in his mind, he was like, I must rise to the occasion, for lack of a better way of putting it. And so I had to do the thing where I'm trying to like make it go away before I get in the shower because I'm going to lose all credibility. All credibility, Rachel, will be out the door if I walk and go, listen, I could do this. And I'm like, dugga, 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 dugga.
You're like, cold water. Honey, can you turn it a little colder?
Yeah, cold water. Cold water. I'm telling you, I only came in here to bathe. That's all.
I swear.
And so I was even trying, this is a little bit of an overshare, but I think the guys will laugh, or maybe guys don't even know this is a trick, but I read somewhere, I don't know how I heard about this. I think it was like on a Maxim magazine or something where when you wake up with morning wood, like how do you go pee? And they tell you that if you squeeze the head on the top and the bottom, that it naturally, it's like a release valve or whatever that it makes it go down. So I was trying to do that, but she heard me walk in the door. So I had my back to her trying to do that. And she goes, what are you doing? And I jumped. And I was like, what? Nothing, nothing. I'm just coming to take a shower with you. So I get in the shower. She's like, all right, here we go. And I'm like, no, 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 I'm serious. I'm not. I'm just here to, you know, and we were kind of washing each other, which was very nice. And like I said, she's very easy on the eyes. I'm unbelievably attracted to her. So she goes, what about that? And I'm like, well, he has only one thing on his mind all the time. I go, I, however, can just enjoy looking at you naked without having to take it all the way. And then here's what I found, interestingly enough, and I would like your insight on this, not only as a woman, but as a sex therapist, is that all of a sudden I think that made my wife kind of in the mood that I was turning her down, that I was like, nope, negative on that one, Ghost Rider. And she was trying really hard. And I was like, no, listen, I will kiss you, but no, I'm not doing this because you're not going to make me lose. I'm going to win this argument. I got Liz Estrada on her ass. And it cranked it up a notch for her. And if it wasn't for our 2-year-old walking in, she probably would have tried even harder to get me to go all the way. So I thought,
interesting.
Yeah, is that what do you think of that?
Well, let me ask you what you think of that.
Oh, whoa, what's up, therapist? My thought is that it changed it. It changed it from her necessarily being prey, I guess, for lack of a better term, like sexual prey, to where it almost kind of made it a game for her, like to where now it's like she knows my weakness, she gets to play with me and my weakness, and I became the prey. I became the victim, even though I wasn't like sexual prey for her, but I felt like there was a little bit like a cat and mouse where she's playing with me, like while she's got her paw on my tail, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's some damn good insight, honestly. I it's fun, like especially when you've been in a relationship for a long time or you're married.
Yeah.
It's fun to just tease each other and go after each other and have one person kind of jokingly pull sex off the table, and then you walk in with a, you know, your body has another plan.
Right.
And she, it's sexy, like it's fun, and I love the fact that you guys are still showering together.
Yeah, we don't do it on a regular basis. I can't claim to have that, but I would do it more often. Now, especially that there is this game of where, because here's what I realize is that, and I think any guy out there listening knows, is that when you can kind of tease that idea, and it's really hard for us as guys because we kind of get, you know, one track minded in that area, that when you could tease the idea, it almost heightens it for later on for your lady. Am I wrong on that? Or
no, absolutely. It's like sending a sexy text, you know, at noon when you know you're not going to be home until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you kind of get the engines revving up a little bit.
Yeah. And it's, well, and it's interesting too that I had an openly honest conversation with her on the phone the other day where I told her, I said, you know, I got to be honest. Sometimes I'm on the road, you know, and I'm by myself, and she knows that I take care of myself when I'm on the road, if you will. And so I said, she goes, and she sent me some naughty pictures. I think I talked to you about this when we did our first episode, that how it kind of ruined my day, like in a good way. Like I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I got this. This is so great. And like, you know, because it's weird. Like you hear these stories on the news of like eighth graders doing it, and you're like, oh my gosh. But when you're married, like I just like, it seems, it's so awesome because there's no downside. It's like anybody who had premarital sex, and then even if you're not religious, it's interesting. If you have premarital sex, when you have postmarital sex, it's different. Even if you've had sex forever, there's a level of where it's like there can absolutely be no guilt associated with this. There is almost nothing naughty about doing this. But then what I've realized is that anything that is quote unquote naughty, like for instance, she's well, I've sent you some pictures, and I'm like, yeah, I go, but I'll be honest, I'm not complaining, but you know, those are very like safe pictures. They're like, you know, cover of, you know, Vogue magazine-esque pictures. I go, there's nothing in there, you know, there's no, and then later on that night, she sends me like, ba-boom, like picture. And I was like, holy, I was in the comedy club about to go on stage, checking my text message. And then there's my wife naked. I go, whoa, like I had a verbal response going, holy shit. Like, and I was happy. And it was fun because there is that level of excitement and quote unquote naughtiness to it, but there's no consequence because you're married. So I feel like married people should be doing this for each other all the time, like showering with each other. Yes,
oh,
yes?
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. It's almost like you have to treat marriage like a long distance relationship. It's like, you know, even though you see the person every day, you're seeing the person doing laundry and doing dishes. Like, treat them like they're special. They're obviously special.
Yeah.
So, you know, embrace it. Embrace the fact that you get to live together. It's, not everybody gets that privilege, so.
It's true. It's true. And I think it's interesting to both of us because we've got to see our parents' marriages change as they've gotten older. And there's a little bit of it, like, there's examples on both sides of our family, but where it's like, there's one side we're like, oh, I really would hope that we kind of have this aspect. And then on the other side, there's like, oh, well, we really don't want to do this. Or maybe there's different, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And so that's also kind of been a thing where it's like, okay, we really got to, we not necessarily work at it because unfortunate, like what we discussed last time with Ben Affleck, that,
yes,
you know, that has a negative connotation to it, but it is, you got it.
Did you see that SNL thing?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was thinking about you the whole time. Which
me too. I thought of you too.
That's
I almost called you, but I was watching it at like 2 a.m. I didn't.
We totally just had a Sex in the City girlfriend moment right there. This is really hard. Listen, I love you on the show. I love you, obviously. But I'm just going to have to admit and accept what it's going to do to my masculinity. That's all.
Guys listening, though, I have to tell you, women love a guy who can have this conversation.
Well, right? Okay. All right. But I won't necessarily argue that point, but I just don't know that if every guy is not, they're not wired. Like, I don't know if it's because I have mom issues or what, but I noticed that there are differences between me and most dudes. But anyway, without talking about me the entire time, what I wanted to do, because it's been such a huge impact for me, is I wanted to get your insight and kind of break down and walk through each of the love languages. And if you don't mind, because it's the one that I think is the most interested, I would like to end with gifts, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? So whatever go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you want to start with words of affirmation?
Sure, let's do that one.
Okay. So words of affirmation, there's so many ways that this can be taken in by people.
Okay.
Basically what it means is that you're giving compliments or telling somebody how much you care about them and love them.
Yeah.
For example, compliments or encouragements, or, let's say you have a doctor appointment and you're not sure what's going to happen. You're getting blood tests done, you know, and your wife sends you that message like, hey, honey, I was thinking about you. You're going to be great. I love you so much. You know, we'll talk later, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's words of affirmation.
Yeah.
And for some people, this is like nothing. Like you could send off that text message and they're like, okay, well, I was going here anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But for other people, if they don't get that, they feel completely neglected.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge one. Words can restore intimacy. And this one I have mixed feelings about because really I always tell my clients, like, love is a behavior.
Mm.
Love is a verb. Love is an action. And so words are words, but it's the act of saying the words that is the love. It's not the words themselves, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I was curious about is that I'm interested in that. I think that there are positive and negative connotations that come with the even just the statement or the title of each of these languages, and that words of affirmation to me kind of has a fear of like that makes me seem needy or that I'm insecure or anything
yes.
along those lines. And
yeah, like you need reassurance. Or-
right. But I think what you're saying is that it's not necessarily – it doesn't just have to be compliments. Like it could also be comments of like what you mean to me and how important you are to me or that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Or even like, you know, let's say I know I have a huge busy day. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the day, I get a text from my boyfriend that says, hey, babe, I was just thinking about you. I hope your day's going well. I love you.
Yes.
Those are words of affirmation.
Yeah.
There's also – you know, it's when we fall down, when we have our failures, when we don't succeed as much as we want. This is how we show love to bring that person back up. Mm-hmm. For some people, words don't mean anything. But for people who words of affirmation are their primary love language, they have to have those words. They have to. Otherwise, they're going to feel like just awful. They're not going to be able to pick themselves back up very easily.
And I'm curious too, like say in the instance of my situation where words of affirmation is one of the three-way ties for my wife and I'm more of an acts of service, is it a way of speaking my love language in a way that she understands to say, it means the world to me when you put these transactions into me, so thank you so much for doing that, you're incredible, like that kind of thing.
Perfect.
Okay, all right, I like it.
Yeah, so as long as you can understand what her love languages, and you can always ask, you know, this isn't like a take a test and then just, you know, hit blindly.
Yeah.
You can say like, honey, you know, I saw you scored really high in this category. Like, what kind of words do you want to hear?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? What would make you smile?
Yeah. And then, that's also, as I'm sure you could agree, it's a weirdly hard subject to broach because you feel like you failed already because you need, like what Bill's point with this whole love language thing was when we did it a couple years ago, is that it's like, well, if I need this cheat sheet, then how much do I get you?
And that's usually when you end up going to therapy because there's a problem.
Mm.
And that goes back to your earlier point of like when you go to therapy or when you take this test or whatever you do before there's an actual issue. I think I mentioned on the first one, I had my boyfriend take this test when we first started dating.
Yeah.
And that's because I didn't want to ever get to the point where he felt like I wasn't showing him love.
No. Yeah. That's why, that's the whole reason why I didn't want to ask my wife. Cause I told her that we had discussed this on the show. I didn't want to ask her to take the test now because I wanted to have more of a genuine response. So I look back at her results from a couple years ago and just put those and said, well, I'll try this. And it's
exactly.
worked greatly. Like you want that sincere kind of response.
Yeah, exactly. And both people like need to be on board for it. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that I love about these is they're very gender neutral.
Yes.
It's not like one of them, like women don't always score higher in one and men score higher in another.
Yeah.
Which is nice because, you know, people will be like, oh, well, of course guys score high in physical touch. And,
yeah, because it's sexual and that's
yes,
not the intent.
Yes, and women
yeah.
want words because they want to talk. Like, no, there's been lots of studies done on this and women do not score higher or lower than men in any particular category.
Yeah, that's interesting. But so let's see, what else about, is there anything else about words of affirmation? Because then that kind of makes me want to transition to physical touch.
Yeah, let's transition to physical touch.
All
and
right.
If people have questions about these, this is the stuff that you can write in about. You
yeah,
can also
please do.
Tweet me and whatever. Yeah. All those weird things that I'm learning about now.
So you could follow her at The Love Intern, send her a tweet, or you could send currently we might set up Rachel with her own email that she can have either all on her own, or we're going to set something up associated with the show. But for now, you could send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. And if it's something like you just need a quick answer on or something that we don't want to cover on the show, I might just forward it on to her so she can get a quick reply to you or whatever. Do that way.
Yeah, which is great. I definitely put some time aside to do that.
Yeah. All right, cool. So physical touch. So we already kind of talked about it, that it seems like, and it's one of the things that when you take the test online, that it, one of the first things says that it does not necessarily mean to things in the bedroom. Like that doesn't necessarily mean that that's all it is sexual.
This is like the number one misconception with this one.
Really?
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. Physical touch does not have anything to do with the amount of sex.
Interesting.
Anything. I will give you a perfect example. It's going to totally bring down the mood, so then we'll change it back to a
sex. That's okay.
Again.
That's all right.
Okay. So let's say somebody passes away in your family.
Okay.
And they need to feel love. Okay. So I'm going to use myself as an example, which I rarely ever do. Okay. But physical touch is my number one love language.
Okay.
And like by a lot. Like it's a huge gap. And
let it out, girl. Let it out.
I know.
By all, a lot.
All I need is a hand on my back. Mm-hmm. A hand on my back, a hand on my thigh, a hand hold, a hug. Granted, don't get me wrong, the sex stuff is important too. But right. When it comes to this, like if somebody passed away in my family, I would get more love and feelings from a handhold than I would from somebody saying like, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I bring you dinner?
Sorry
Can
for
I
your
do
loss.
This? Like none of that really means anything to me.
Yeah.
I mean, of course I appreciate it, but it's the touch that conquers it. Mm-hmm. So that's like a perfect example of it's not just about sexual things. This is like your love language in general with everybody, with your friends, with your family. It's not just with your partner.
Hmm. So, and do you think it's possible to have someone whose love language is physical touch, but they are not fans of public display of affection or PDA?
Oh God. Yeah, absolutely.
And why would that be? Like, cause to me, it just means, well, then that might not be your complete, or I guess it would just be because they're just more embarrassed about that because maybe it's because it's a bigger deal for them.
Yeah. I mean, and like PDA, like please don't go make out in line at Disneyland.
Yeah. Okay. I'll
stop. You
know, stop.
Like
I'll
serious
stop.
Public announcement on that one. Yeah. Like there are children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go get a room.
Yeah.
But like hold hands, like show each other, like, you know, so physical touch is like, well, it makes me think of like open marriages. Mm-hmm. And this is why open marriages and threesomes have such a big effect on people.
Okay.
Is because psychologically, if your love language is touch and you're seeing the person that you love
touch somebody else, yeah,
that's their love going to somebody else in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of it just being like a sexual thing, which is what everybody kind of says it is, that is in that lifestyle.
Yes.
That it's not about love. It's just this is a physical thing for me.
Which, and for some people, that is. Like, I have clients who have open marriages and who have been in different sex situations. I mean, I've heard everything.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's bad. It's just that for people who this is something, it's hard to check out of what your love language is. So if this is something that is very important to you, that's going to be an issue.
That might, you're that much less likely to be a swinger if that's
exactly.
Or maybe more, I guess that's an unfair statement, is that you could also be more likely to be a swinger because you like to be, you like to touch and that's how you like to, so the more touching that happens. But
I mean, it could go both ways. Absolutely.
But just like you might not be into PDA, so a person who's not into PDA but is physical touch is also not going to be down with a three-way just because that's like what you discussed. That's them seeing the love transferred in another direction that they're not comfortable with.
Exactly. Or they're like, sweet, another person to touch me. This is great.
Yeah. Now more for me. Like we're all puppies rolling all over each other.
We're all puppies.
That's a very creepy visual. Like here's what I'm trying to do, honestly, as I'm just trying to get the mental picture of every episode of Real Sex I have ever seen.
Like, that show's so funny. I know. Oh. So it's, physical touch, like just, that it's a good one. It's a good one. And it's a win-win, man. Who doesn't want to touch the person they love?
Yeah. All right, so let's go from that one into, I don't know, what one do you want to discuss? I don't want to drive this in too much.
How about quality time?
All right, perfect.
Okay, so what is your definition of quality time, Justin?
And I think that's very well put, because I think the layperson just means that everything has to be removed from the situation. Like I imagine it to me to be some kind of like gondola in Venice, and or you have to have some kind of romantic date night, but it's not at a restaurant. Like everyone else has to be removed from the situation, or to put it even kind of on a less exaggerated scale, like just a simple you and the other person watching a movie on the couch. But I imagine that everybody else has to be gone from that kind of situation.
So I'm really glad that you said that, because that is the number one misconception.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
You do not have to be. What quality time refers to is focused attention.
Mm.
And so meaning that you can be out, you can be with your kids, you can be anywhere. And as long as that person, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and their phone buzzes and they look at it and then you keep talking because you're giving them the benefit of the doubt, like,
yep,
okay, they're still listening. And then they look up and you're like, so what do you think?
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what?
I've been that person and been on the other side of it.
Yeah. And we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
But like, that is the shittiest feeling.
Yeah.
Ever. And so that's what quality time refers to, is focused attention on the other person. And when you think about it that way, you can really understand that everybody needs a certain level of that.
Yeah.
But for people whose number one love language is quality time, they're going to be really focused on their partner when they're talking.
Yeah. If they have a partner with ADD, that is a rough marriage. That is
seriously, no, for sure.
Yeah. That's very, very rough.
And like in long distance relationships, this would be listening to each other on the phone.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're really communicating. And in friendships, again, the same thing, like not getting distracted. It's really, really, really about quality conversation and being able to connect with that person.
Mm. You know what I just realized in that, if we could backtrack a little bit, is that maybe there's a way that you could identify, like just so people who are listening, I imagine if I was listening to this and go trying to think of what my loved one is, my wife or my husband or whoever. And so like, let's go back to physical touch. I think, is that what we started with? No, we started with words of affirmation.
Yeah. Words.
So words of affirmation, like, is there any kind of signals that maybe I could be able to see? And I'm sorry if this is unfairly putting you on the spot.
No. It's a great question. So like, with words of affirmation, the main signals that you get that this is, your partner's love language is they'll probably send you text messages throughout the day. Or they'll probably,
that's right. That's how, what they'll do for you. Huh? That makes sense.
Yes. So whatever they want, they're going to give out.
Yeah.
So really pay attention to how they're showing you love. So for words, text messages, they might be very verbal or like write a lot. So if they're feeling hurt, they might write you a letter.
Mm.
They might give you empathy through, you know, it'll be okay, let's talk about this. Giving you words to feel better, make you feel humble, make you feel motivated. Just everything is about words. They're always using words to bring you up.
That's interesting. All right. So then physical touch.
Physical touch, they will do exactly what I was saying, like a hand on the thigh.
Yeah. They're touchy feeling.
They'll kind of rub your head a little bit. And it's not necessarily like overboard PDA. It's those people, like, have you ever seen the old couple sitting on the beach or walking, and they're just, one of them has their hand on the other person, and you're like, oh, they're so in love. It's that.
That I just had, I just was hanging out with some friends of mine a few weeks ago, and the husband's, one of his love languages is physical touch. And it was interesting because he always, and it's one of my favorite things about hanging out with him, he always has his hands on his wife. And I just, for me, watching it from the outside, I'm like, it's so funny that he cannot not touch her. Like he just, he can't, and how cool it must be for her that he, you know, has to grab, he has to touch, he has to do, you know, that kind of thing. And it was interesting when we were talking about this stuff is that she was also under the understanding that it meant sexually, like that that just meant that he was after her in that sense. And he even kind of said himself, he's like, well, I am a dude, but he goes, no, I like it. I like your butt. I like this is how I show you that I love you. Like,
yeah,
he always has to have his hand on her leg. He always has to, you know, every time he walks by her, he gets a little love. He gives her a little love pat on the butt. And I do that too all the time with my wife. Like, you, I have to reach out and give her a little love pat or something like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that makes sense that if you're seeing that person give that to you, then, and I think it's important for, you know, A, the moms listening to this show, that if you have a husband who's doing this, that is it fair to say that that doesn't necessarily mean that he's just trying to bang you or anything like that?
No. And ask him. If you're not sure, ask.
Mm.
You know, honey, I love when you hug me. I just wanted to know because I feel pressured. Are you always looking for sex when you do that? Or are you just touching me to touch me?
Yeah.
Like, ask him and he'll be like, oh my God, no. You know, or he'll say, yeah, I'm trying to fuck you every chance I get.
Exactly, which is, yeah.
You know, okay, cool. Like, that's
now you know. But now you know. Knowing is half the battle, we learned from G.I.
Exactly,
Joe.
Exactly. So ask. Don't assume.
Yeah, and that has to be the number one, like, issue within relationships and marriage is that it's just nothing. It's a weird thing socially that we talked about it, and it's another subject I want to talk about once we get through these love languages, is that there's all these assumptions that we make within the relationship that are, it's just so silly that you can't just say, but there's a part of just say, if I just come out and ask you, then I failed. And it's so stupid if you think about it.
Oh yeah. I've heard so many, my clients, a lot of couples, especially women, will say, well, he should know.
Yeah.
He should know this is what I want.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, were we born mind readers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, and if that was, it's so, that's the other thing that I think is interesting is that you would think that psychology would be such a larger part of our public education system. Like, instead of having to learn a foreign language, why are we not taking child development courses or just a basic psychology course? Or even if, I know that it would be weird to endorse this as a curriculum, although I think you and I would agree that it'd be nice, but why isn't a subset of an elective course the five love languages? You know what
Heck
I mean?
Yeah. Like,
or ways to have a healthy relationship as opposed to it just being, we want you to learn German. Like,
that's chemistry.
Yeah, exactly.
I have seen a beaker today, but I can't communicate with anyone.
Exactly. Which, if you think about it, is I really think that most of anything that is wrong with a civilization has more to do with the social elements than it does necessarily the intellectual, if that makes sense.
You know, it's funny you say that. My mom is a published author and has a weekly blog. And one of the blogs that she recently put out was about that. It was about how we take all these classes for purposes that we're going to never use and learn about cells and plants and mm-hmm. all these things that if you're not going to be a botanist, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And how there's no classes on communication and that's why her marriage failed.
Yeah.
And that if she would have just known the things that she knew now when she was married, it would have changed her life.
Yep. And it's interesting to me in that I think it's only because I'm buying so much into this philosophy, but I think I'm at this part in my life where like I want to really kind of engulf myself in these love languages and kind of learn more about the psychological aspects of marriage and parenting and all that stuff. Because I think it's going to lead to a much more fulfilled and happy life, far more than like what she's saying. That for me, I mean, there are biologists maybe listening to the show that are like, I know that we at least have a few engineers that are probably going, fuck you, math is great. You know,
well, you could take math too, but this needs to be part of, you know, the fact that all of that is required, but basic human communication isn't.
Yeah.
That's
really silly.
Weird.
Yeah, because I really think that like any kind of social economic issues, like, and I know that I'm just a dumb white guy who has no real life experience, but it's like to use a stereotype of like gangs and stuff like that, that I feel like if these people knew what they were really thinking and feeling and had tools to be able to communicate what they really wanted and needed, that they wouldn't lead them down a kind of an ignorant social path like that. Because that's really what they've even said on these. Anybody who's seen those documentaries about it, that, you know, if you're not a part of that lifestyle, you kind of look at it and go, when they say like, oh, this is my family now, this is the family I never had, that it's like, we look at it and go, it's not really a family. You're getting in trouble. People are going to jail and dying. Like, That's not what a family's supposed to be. But to them, that's what it is because they don't know any different, really.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, so, that's a whole nother.
Exactly. Yeah. To get back on topic, because I'm a horrible host, I think we were on quality time. Like, how do you know? So to wrap up that one, how do we know if your loved one is their love language is quality time? What kind of signals do you think they would put out?
If your partner's saying like, you don't listen to me, or I feel like we haven't connected,
mm-hmm.
That's a key word for quality time. I feel like we haven't connected.
Mm.
That's usually a good sign. And ask, like, I would ask them, you know, okay, well, I would love to talk to you. Do you want to go out to dinner or do you want to see a movie? And if they say go out to dinner, they want to connect with you. They want to sit and talk.
Mm.
And I think that that's a good thing. Plus, like, even if quality time is the last on your list, who doesn't like being listened to?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I've learned in my own marriage is that that's really all. It's not even that I have to make a special date night, although my wife really does enjoy those. It's so funny that until I started having these conversations with you that I was aware that she likes to have date nights, but I didn't understand how important they were to her and mm-hmm. to her emotional state, that the idea of booking a sitter and saying, we're going to go out and have dinner is a weight lifted. It's the same thing. I imagine that her doing something for me or you getting a hand on the back, it's the exact same kind of feeling that she gets. It's like, oh, okay. I feel so much better now just to know that that's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's good. Date nights are good.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very happy with you right now, Justin.
So let's see. I should have written these down ahead of time, but we've done words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time.
Acts of service.
Acts of service. Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot that one. That one's me.
I know. It's yours.
I know. That's crazy. So what are some things that acts of service people like?
Okay. So acts of service. Give me an example mm-hmm. of something that you do as a verb to uh-huh. show your wife that you love her, not specifically like, oh, I buy her flowers, but yes. more the other stuff.
That's a solid one because it's become a huge, I wouldn't say huge. Every time I feel like I talk about this, I think I unfairly represent my marriage. I'm very happy with my wife and I'm sure that the listeners understand that, but I do a lot of jokingly throwing my wife under the bus on this show. And there is a certain percentage of it that is more than half that is serious and honest. But I do exaggerate to a certain level. But
it's okay, Justin. Anybody who knows me knows that I have a little problem with exaggeration.
Exactly. Yeah.
My little brother, who will be listening, will be cracking up right now because I have I took a 7-hour nap today.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, you slept for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, there were like 12 million people there.
I do that.
Rachel, there was like 12 people there. Like,
that's
what?
Funny. That's funny.
So I gotcha.
Yeah. Having said that the biggest issue that we have had in our relationship that I'm hoping this kind of new realization will help transition out of to what, in my opinion, will honestly be a utopic-esque marriage is that I have constantly been saying, I handle everything. I'm like I just rattled off to you. I manage the money. I am responsible for guiding our life and making sure we achieve our goals. She tells me, you know, I would really like to have this or go here for a vacation, and I make it happen. And until, you know, this last few months, what I've realized is that is all me saying, I love the shit out of you. And when I don't get anything like that reciprocated back, it's like, why aren't you as invested in this relationship? So to give a more direct answer to your question, would be a simple thing would be I handle all of the money and I also take care of the house. Like I make sure the laundry is done and clean and vacuum and cook. And that's another big thing that I make dinner. I make sure dinner is warm and ready when she walks in the door from work, you know, like that kind of stuff mm-hmm. is things that I do for my wife and for my family.
So that is a perfect example of acts of service.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
And that I relate it so much to, I don't like, it's so funny to me that, is that I don't connect it to saying I love you even like, it's not even that obvious for me. It's so, subconscious in me that I just think I'm doing it. And it's not like I want to do it. I'm doing it because I care about you and it's what I need to do. And that when I don't get that back, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how is this not okay? Like,
yeah. So what do you mean, what don't you get back?
I can't get her to help me do these things. Like, so in a sense, it's like, I'm just saying, all I'm asking you to do, like, to be more specific, and I don't know if we've talked about it before when you've been on the show, but my wife has an issue with money. Like, I manage all of our finances, right?
Uh-huh.
And she can't put in the transactions. Like, I'm very anal. Like, I like to know where every dollar and cent and what category it was spent on and all that stuff. And so I say, can you help me in doing this? So what I do for you is I make a world for you that you don't have to worry about finances ever. You will always know that you will have money, and that if you tell me, hey, I need some shirts or skirts or whatever, there will be money that I can make available very soon to have exactly what you want. In return for that, all you have to do is take 10 seconds to enter a transaction. Does that answer your question or no?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
So well, God, there's so much I could go with this right now.
Let's
just stick to the topic and then we can come back to that. but you're basically, what you're saying is that you innately show her love by doing acts of service. It's
yes.
not a manipulative thing. You're
no.
not doing these things to try to get something from her.
No.
You're doing it because you just love her.
Yeah, it is in my mind, I've now learned to be the equivalent of what everybody would understand to be a hug. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That is when I vacuum the floor, it is in my mind me hugging my wife.
So does
and my
she
family.
Know that?
I think now, because of this idea of these love languages, I pointed it out to her, where I said, I went back and looked at your test and I retook the test, and I go, here's what's interesting and why you and I have a problem is that number four on your ranking is number one to me. So it completely rationalizes why it would not make sense to you, because it is like speaking German to you that to try to do something for me. Or all of these things that I do for you, you go, well, yeah, I appreciate it, but you don't understand, just like I don't understand how important it is for me to lock eyes with her when she's talking to me, because
yes.
that's not important to me, and I don't understand what it means to her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so for her, having to put the transaction in, that's just a pain in the ass.
Yes.
It's not that she's trying to be like, screw you, buddy.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do this. But it's just another thing to do on her list.
And then what that becomes is what I translate that to mean is that I don't love you enough to do this for you. Even though you do all these things for me, and these are words that I've said in fights we've had, even though I do all this for you, you can't do this one little thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And that is probably 85% of couples therapy is you don't love me enough to do this.
This reminds
I hear
me.
That seriously every day I'm in the office.
This reminds me of something that I think you'll get a kick out of is that when we had a financial setup to where, because she likes to spend money and I don't, so I built a system where all of our money went into a common checking account, and that's where all of our bills were paid out of. And then we had two separate checking accounts that were connected to our ATM debit cards that we each got a monthly allowance. So depending on how much money we could afford. When we first started doing it, it was like $50, but it got up to as much as $150, if I remember correctly, a month that she could spend whatever she wanted on. And for her, it was always going out to lunch. That's all she ever did. For me, I would save up for video games and that was it, right? And I uh-huh. told her, I said, you could buy whatever you want with this money. And I go, and I said, if you want to go shopping for clothes, I said, you can do it. I go, but if I know that clothes is a necessity, so that's an unfair thing. So what I'm asking is that if you need clothes or work clothes or whatever, you just have to come to me and say, hey, can I have a couple $100? And if we have it that month, I'll give it to you right there. I'll say, yeah, go for it. But if we don't, I go, wait till next month and I can make that happen kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
She would always go over her monthly allowance, Rachel. Every fucking month. It was insane that every single month I go, are you shitting me right now? And there was a month where one time she went over, and I'm super anal. Every day I check the bank account on the online, you know? So there was one time where she went over at Taco Bell and she came home and I said to her, this is so funny now. It was not funny then. It only makes it funnier to the people listening to know how serious I was when I said these words. I go, do you understand that when you do that, after how many arguments you and I have had, that what you're saying to me, that even though you understand that I am going to be angry when you overspend, that you sit in line staring at Taco Bell's shitty fucking menu for 5 minutes, and then you walk up to the cash register and you say, I would like a burrito supreme because this shitty subpar fast food is more important to me than my husband's happiness. That's what you have done to our marriage, is that you have said a burrito supreme is superior to the happiness of my husband. That's what I said to my wife.
What did she say?
She goes, that's not what's happening. I go, how can I possibly see it as anything else, honey? How can I possibly?
This is fantastic. That's so funny and very common.
Yeah. You mean there are other husbands screaming at their wives about their love for the burrito supreme over their love of their husband?
Maybe not the burrito supreme, but I've heard some weird stuff. So the burrito supreme sounds pretty normal.
Well, that's what my and I wish I could say that so I was saying funny. It for a joke, but I really meant it. That I'm like, it's the shittiest food. It's not even like you're going to get like a lobster or going to like Ruth Chris's Steakhouse. You really are buying.
She felt like, sorry, I had to go to Mastro's tonight.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That he, like, you just do it knowing that I'm going to be angry. Like, it's worth it. Oh my God.
So what did she say that was about for her?
She just said, she goes, that's the thing, because she doesn't understand how important it is to me. She also doesn't have the ability to really articulate why she does things, I think, like I can. And so that's another struggle that we deal with, because she just was like, I don't do it because of that. I do it just because I need lunch. And I think there was also an element that she thought that because it's only $4 that she's going over, it's not as bad as if she went $60 over. And I go, right. I said, I understand that. I go, but why isn't that your mind doesn't just think, okay, I have to watch and figure out how not to go over? Why isn't that the thought instead of, okay, but I'm only going to go over by this much? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question, but that was how that argument went. And it's never had closure because this is an ongoing. She'll say, okay, this is how it goes. She'll go, okay, I swear to God, from here on out, I'm going to do it. I mean it. And then it's like being with an alcoholic, or like, you know what I mean?
Where it's like an addict.
Yeah, she immediately, 30 days later, right on the bandwagon again. Like, just right.
Aww.
She has not earned a 30-day chip in 17 years, Rachel.
So we just have to get you guys to win the lottery, and then that won't be an issue anymore.
No, I still think I'll have some problem.
Well, at least she can get as many burrito supremes as she wants.
See, that's the problem. That's where my therapist told me. He goes, I understand where you're coming from. He goes, but you do understand that you are an anomaly, correct? Like, nobody really wakes up every day and checks their bank account and is worried about where $4.34 is going. Like, the fact that I knew the exact number, he's like, you have to at least accept that that's a little weird. And he goes, nobody does that. I go, my father does it. And then we laughed, you know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, your therapist is right. Nobody does that.
Yeah, nobody does that. well, so anyway, so I think that maybe I've made acts of service too much about me, but
no, that's good, because it is yours. It is yours. You give a real life view of what it is.
Hold on, we have to take that. We're taking live calls right here, right now. Is what we're. Do you need to take a break and go grab that? Oh, I think she did.
Well, sorry, I'm currently, that was not for me.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. That's okay. Even if it was, we can hit pause. It's not live, but.
Oh, no, we're good.
All right, good. So how can you see, like, what's an example of, I'm laughing because it's like, to me, it's so painfully obvious, but like, how could you tell if your loved one is an acts of service person, so that maybe I could build a flag for my wife to notice?
Well, first of all, I would have her read the chapter for you specifically. Yeah. Honestly, get the book, read the chapter.
Okay. I have
no
the book.
Question.
I will have her read that. That's so funny that you bring that up too, because there's elements where I will suggest, like when we were struggling financially and we did Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. So if anybody's fighting about money in their relationship, I highly recommend that you check out that book. And I read the book in an afternoon and I said, honey, this is going to change our lives. You need to read this book. And it took her 2.5 months to read this book. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I read it in 4 hours.
Yeah, because you were all excited. You're like, exactly. I read it in 5 minutes.
Exactly. And
see, there goes the exaggerating thing again. I told you.
Yeah, you're right. I did too. Although I did read it in like 4 or 5 hours because I skipped all the testimonials. Like, I just got the nuts and bolts. But I was telling her, I'm like, all you have to do is this. All you have to do is this. All you have to do is this. And she just could not be bothered to do it because it was. And I just, all I could, I'm like, I'm asking you. I'm saying, can you do this for me? And again, to beat a dead horse. It's like, that's me saying, I'm asking you to tell me that you love me, and you're blatantly saying no. You're blatantly saying, nope, can't do it. Mm-hmm. Or even worse, saying, yeah, you got it, and then not doing it. Like, like I'm not going to notice. Like, it's so weird to me. But how can you know if your loved one is a acts of service person?
What you're saying, you vacuum, you take care of the bills, you're mm-hmm. doing the laundry, you're taking care of the kids, mm-hmm. you're doing all these things around the house. You're not doing them because you like to do those
no.
things.
No, yeah, no, they're
nobody
not fucking
likes
fun.
To fucking vacuum
no.
and do dishes.
Yes.
Unless you're on like a total cleaning spree, but that's, you know, nobody likes to do those things.
Yeah.
So if somebody is consistently doing something, or like cooking, if somebody cooks for you every night, mm-hmm. yeah, they're probably the one that likes to cook.
Sure.
But they're doing that because they want to do something for you.
Which I think brings up a very interesting point that I learned in the paragraph and also in some of the subtext of the questions on the test, is that it, and I can say this, being an acts of service person, that it means even more to me when she does something that I know she doesn't like. Like it really does. When I notice that I can download all the transactions and everything's in there, it's an even bigger deal to me because I know that she doesn't like to do it. And that's her saying, I am only, it feels almost like a quality time-esque thing where you are the only thing that's important to me. When she does something she hates, that means that I love you. And that's exactly why I'm doing this, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't do this at all.
Exactly. And that's actually another quality time thing like if my boyfriend were to go with me to like a Glee concert, mm-hmm. that's all out of love.
Oh, really?
Because he'd probably want to kill himself the entire time.
But he can't. And here's the thing, too. I think the caveat to that is that while you may not have the expectation for him to have learned the lyrics and sing along, but he can't sit there and like, this fucking sucks. Like,
oh, you know, no. Yeah. Hell no. Then it's not quality time. Then but if like, he could, you know what? I would have rather taken somebody else.
But he can laugh. Like, he can laugh at how much it's not fun for him, but how much he likes watching you have fun. And that's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm 5 years old on the inside. It's kind of fun to watch that.
Yeah. All right. Good. So I think we did that. So I think all we have left is gifts, correct?
Yeah, which is what we wanted to end with. So
because here's why. Because I noticed this when I was discussing this with my friends, and I think it's a common thing with gifts, is that because people, one of the things that the husband said was that he was like, I don't understand how anybody could end up with a love language of gifts because everybody would be afraid of sounding materialistic.
Right. I was going to say that when you were taking the quiz, every question that came up with the gift thing, mm-hmm. did you think in your head like, oh, shit, I can't choose that one?
No. And it's because this is what I've learned through these conversations with you, is that I realize that I do a lot of things for people to the point where sometimes it makes them feel uncomfortable how willing I am to help them or do something for them. Like, there was a stranger that came to see me at the show last night who loved the show, and she's a chef and she wants to build like an online web series. And I'll say to her, she goes, can you help me? I go, sure, yeah, I could do that. Because even though it seems like to her, like, why would somebody who doesn't know me go out of their way to help me? It's just because even though it's not me professing love, but it's just me like, that's me being kind. That's how if I can help you, great. That's how I put positive vibes into the world in my mind because I'm an acts of service person. So I just so
there's
anti-gift.
There's a difference between though acts of service and gifts.
Right, but what I'm saying is that for me, I just don't need gifts. It doesn't, like, people buy me things and they don't hit me. While I do appreciate certain gifts, it's not like I'm completely void of it. I guess it's just, it's not something that is important to me at all. I don't buy gifts for people. And if they're offended by it, I just don't get it. Like, oh, you don't buy me anything for Christmas? I'm like, no. Why? What? No. Like, I get stuff for my kids.
Exactly. And I think that for a lot of people, this one is difficult because it's not acceptable in our culture mm-hmm. to be like, yeah, you need to buy me Tiffany & Co. earrings.
Yeah, exactly.
Week. Otherwise, I'm just not going to feel
loved. That's
what
it sounds like. It sounds gold digger-esque.
Yes, it does. But if you put it in, I'll put it into different terms. Mm-hmm. And a gift could be, hey, I was at 7-Eleven today getting gas, and I know your favorite kind of gum is this watermelon infusion. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they had it on sale, so I got you 5 packs.
Yes. Yes, that's what we kind of were hoping that you would say, is that I think it's more the thoughtfulness of what the thought behind the gift, not just the actual value of the gift.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So, for example, my grandmother just turned 75 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and we got her an iPad. And it's a really, I mean, obviously that's a really nice gift. Mm-hmm. But the thought behind the gift was that she's a pianist. So she's constantly sitting playing piano and she has a piano bench for her computer. Mm-hmm. So she's always in the same position, mm-hmm. like consistently. And so our thought behind the gift was now you can check your email and do all these things that you're awesome and do at 75, mm-hmm. like on the couch. And so for her, that gift was more about here's some flexibility, and the fact that you're 75 and can know how to use an iPad is a huge compliment to you.
Yeah.
Because we love you and we want you to have that.
Yeah.
So that's where the gift thing comes from, is it's the meaning behind the gift. It's not, I'm a gold digger, I'm materialistic, buy me a fucking car.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't love me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because that was Bill was that was one of the things he was angry about when we did this, is that his wife is always connected to things. Like she's always buying herself this or buying things, and her score for gifts was kind of low. And so he's like, it's because she doesn't want to seem like she's materialistic, like, and to think that only possessions are what matters to her. But I think you're I almost said, and I didn't mean it to come across that way, but I think you're right, Rachel, in this thing that you have studied hours and read. Like, I validate your expertise as a person who is new to this. I validate what you No, I can't. Shut up. You're being too nice. That is the most fucked up thing to do to somebody. That's like, that's almost as bad as going to a doctor and going like, okay, I would agree. I would concur with your
diagnosis. I was just about to say that. You go, they're like, I think you have strep throat. You're like, yeah, I would actually agree with that.
Okay, good. Because I was testing you. And
yeah, I knew I had it. I just wanted to see if you caught on.
I'm just here for the prescription. I just need, I know what I have. But kudos to you, doctor.
I have people who come into my practice that do that, though.
Oh yeah, well that's the thing. I like, as much as I've joked on this show about I the best way I've heard it put was Adam Carolla said it on a famous episode of Love Lines, where he said, "I did not graduate high school, and I was a carpenter, and I could walk into $1 million homes and say, you need to hang a door on this, blah, 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 rattle off all this nonsense. And they would go, okay, yeah, how much is it going to cost? Mm-hmm. He goes, meanwhile, Dr. Drew, who's a board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, can say, you need to do this. And like, I'm going to need a second opinion. Like,
yeah. So no, it's true.
With psychology, I would imagine that it's even, because it's almost like why people can easily relate to NASCAR, because they know how to drive a car. People yes. must think that because they know, understand what the word happy means, that they know how to do your job. Like
pretty much. I get it a lot. Or like people will come in and want to be diagnosed, mm-hmm. or they will have a previous diagnosis. And when I ask them about it, they won't tell me because they want to see if I can
guess it.
Get it the same as the other doctor.
Like you're a tarot card reader.
Yeah, I'm like, this isn't a psychic. Like, you're here for help. Yeah,
that's funny.
Let's try to help yourself.
That's funny. So I guess that, what else can we say about gifts? Because I don't, and I feel like I'm almost, it's the one that I wanted to build up to, but it's only because I was so curious about that materialistic aspect of it. But
yeah, and you know, some people are materialistic. Like, let's be real.
And that's okay, right?
Like, and that's fine.
As long as you're paired up with somebody who either A, gets it, or is also materialistic. Because I know that there are people who believe that they are valued and their life is better because of the things that they have. A hoarder, I think, is a kind of an example of that, yeah?
Yeah. No, it's a dysfunctional example, but right. Absolutely. I mean, even my best friend she and her husband give each other designer gifts all the time.
Yeah.
And for me, that's not something that I would give as a gift. Mm-hmm. But for them, that's what they like to do. That's their special gift.
And I think maybe within the context of a marriage, that most of the people that listen to this show are probably middle class or some there around there, that being the median, I guess, is that you have to, where transitions from what you just described as dysfunctional and functional would mean what the expectation is on the value of the gift. If your wife or husband is expecting you to buy him a brand new boat or drop 10 grand every time he needs to feel loved, then that's where it transitions into dysfunctional. But I think, I think more often than not that it isn't necessarily the dollar sign if you have a gift person, and you might be able to even show them that the more, because they're, I'm not a gift love language person at all, was from what I understand. But one of the things that I've felt about the gifts my wife gives me is that because she doesn't take the time to plan, which is it bleeds back to my act of service, is that she doesn't want to do the thing that she doesn't like to do, which is to plan ahead and organize enough to find a gift that she can find a way of tricking me with the money to be able to get. She just like, so she gives me, she is the one who has, I said to my friends, tested the thought that counts and ruined that theory, because she's given me literally a thought as a present. Like it's, and acted as if it's like, ta-da! Like she goes, here's what I gave you. I gave you the NASCAR experience where you can go sit in a car. And I go, great. Are there tickets? Is it online? She's like, no, you have to buy it and then figure out when you want to go. And like, you, so as the person who plans and manages everything in all of our lives, you now have to do this for your own present, you know, kind of thing. It's what she gave to me. But I think that it, well, I guess what my point is to say that while it is that intent, that you can educate that person and say, you know, you may think or perceive them to be materialistic, but if you can get down to the root of who they are and what they really, really want, then and showing it like your bubblegum example is, I think, really good, because it's little, it's like $4, but the fact that there are five packs and not just a pack, I think, also adds to it for a gift person. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll have to, next episode that we tape, my boyfriend's birthday is June 12th, mm-hmm. and I have a gift in the making for him. So I will have to, I can't say it because I know he's going to listen, and then, so I will, I'll update you.
Oh, I'm excited. Is that by the chance, is that his love language, or at least one
of them? It is not. It is not. But for birthdays and stuff, I go all crazy gifty.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. My wife like counts down to birthdays, but then when it comes to actually getting me a gift, and this is honestly, it just makes me laugh because I don't care because they're not that important to me, but it's almost laughable that that's what she does. She's like, here's an idea. Here's a concept. Here you go. Like, happy birthday to you. We've been counting down.
We can take a trip at some point.
Yeah, exactly. You have to figure out all the details.
But I'll be there.
But I'll tag along. You will get the gift of my presence. Well, I had on here, I know that we're well over our hour, so I don't want to, please tell me if I'm taking up too much of your time.
No, you're fine.
Okay, because I had one other thing that I thought was really interesting that when I visited with some friends of mine a while back that, and I think it's a common thing within relationships, and I don't know if you tell me if this is something we want to tease for the next episode or if you think it's something that we can kind of button here, is that one of the things we were talking about and laughing about is that when you know you're going to have sex when you're married, right? That there, when you've been together for a long time, there is an element where it transitions from being exciting. Like she put it best when she said, when you're dating someone, there's like this buildup and you don't know if it's going to go there or not. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, oh shit, it's on. We're going there. But when you're married or in a long-term relationship, it's like, well, we know that that's on the table. And so the starting of the ball rolling is kind of can be awkward. It's like, is it weird? Does it seem like I guess the best way I could describe it is it almost seems unnecessary. Like it seems to the playing of the game when you know you're going to get into sudden death doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's definitely a teaser for next time.
All right, good. All right, I like it. I like the way you work, Rachel. I like everything about it. So there well, was
and,
our...
And people writing questions about that, because that is a loaded
yes.
discussion.
Please do. And like I said in the last episode, is that since we last spoke, you and I have been texting, and I've been talking a little bit on the show. For a while, it looked like I could not get this house. Now it looks like we're back on the table, that there's a
Yay!
Chance. So if I could get this house, I really want to – I'm going to put in a landline, and I would love to be able for you and I at least to take some live calls and stuff on the show.
Yes.
To talk to some people and let them ask questions. But please send in your questions, no matter how light, fluffy, or intense they may be, whether they're sexual in nature or anything along those lines. And remember, if you email them into questions@thedadpodcast.com and it's something that you feel is very sensitive or whatever, A, I will not read the email, or B, you could also sign up and make a fake Gmail and send it off to me, and no one will ever know who you are. But I can guarantee you that I have enough listeners on this show that there are maybe 3 to 4 people that I know your names, and I hope that you take this in the spirit in which it's intended. But most of you could probably just live in anonymity, and I wouldn't even know, if that helps you in any way, shape, or form. Although I really don't think that's the issue here. I think most of the listeners are comfortable, and that there's enough anonymity with just it being over the internet and on the show. I think a lot of it has to do with that they think, well, I'm pretty happy married. Like, I have normal life problems kind of stuff.
Yeah, and look, there's no issue too big or too small.
Exactly. That's a perfect. Therapist puts it exactly the way it needs to be said. So send us an email to questions@thedadpodcast.com, and you can join the conversation on facebook.com/dadpodcast. You could follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. You could follow me @JustinMorsham. But the big one, I want to throw a bunch of followers. So if you are on the Twitter, please follow @TheLoveIntern, our dear friend Rachel Gibbs, our family and sex therapist, and she and you have some really cool things. I of course follow you, and there's some really there. What was the phrase? I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized, but it made me giggle in my car the other day, where you said, it's something to a sense of saying, I don't give a shit what you're perceiving me to say. What's the matter? What matters is what I'm saying. Is that an
I don't
unfair?
Even know what you're talking about right
there
now.
It was like a little phrase that you had on your Twitter. Like it was a picture.
Oh, I am responsible for what I say. I am not responsible for what you understand.
That's what it is. And then I put my little shit spin on it.
I have my little hashtag that I created that's very exciting. It's only mine, Justin.
Therapy thought of the day. Is that right?
Yes, therapy thought for today.
For today. That's it. Yeah. So please follow her @TheLoveIntern on behalf of my good friend. Oh, that's the other thing. Please continue. I know a lot of you guys are signing up, but please, 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 I really appreciate it. Sign up to do the $24 a month $24 a year or the $2 a month. It could change my life. And if we get enough of these wonderful experts like Rachel and Dr. J that we have joining the show, I would love to be able to kick some money their way too and make this a really cool thing for all parties involved. So please go to thedadpodcast.com and either contribute $2 a month or $24 a year. I would really, really appreciate it. On behalf of my good friend Rachel Gibbs, the family and sex therapist and the Love Intern @TheLoveIntern, give her a follow. This is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.